Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
The thing that I shared the tip of just a few weeks ago about RPT, those are really, really important things for us to get in our heart. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And I think I told you how I got these verses, and it's never left me. And sometimes God, in a hard time, He'll get your attention, you know. Despite the time I was in, I wasn't happy. Wasn't happy with the church, or wasn't happy, blah, blah, blah. And I was watching TV, and I was clicking the channels, and this guy comes on that I really wasn't excited about. And of course, that's who God will use sometimes, is the person that you're not really excited about. But He'll use any way at His disposal to speak to each one of you. And how many in this room know it's bigger and better than what we've seen? Even if it's been good, it's bigger and better. God is huge. And this fellow was pointing the finger at me. Do you like to have the finger pointed at you? And he said, and I thought he was a money guy, faith guy. And he said, do you know what God's will for you is right now? Right now, right now. And I thought, yeah, but if it's giving you money, I got the clicker. And he said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will, His desire for each one of us in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, a few verses later, he said, don't despise prophetic utterances. You know, when people get up and share something or speak something, maybe for all kinds of reasons, it don't resonate with you. Don't despise it. But it goes on to say, and this was one of my life lessons. Maybe it don't mean anything to you, but it does to me. It says, examine everything closely. And then one day, and I thought, yeah, I'm looking for the bad guy, you know. And one day I thought, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, examine everything closely and cling to what is good. Amen. So as in our examining, look for good, not bad. Bad's easy to find. But when you find something good, hang on to it. Let it be part of your repertoire. Let it be part of your life. These verses, this is just a small portion of that great book called the Bible. And they are life-changing. But the secret for us is to humble ourselves and to submit. And that's what Jesus did. And look where He wound up. I know on a cross, but He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, praying, interceding for us. And so maybe Ernie has a little higher position than what he thinks. The song we sang about God having to tell us we're brave, I don't know. What was it? You forget it? Okay. Let Him tell you what you're worth. You're worth creating. I didn't know I was going to go here, and I'm not going to go too far, but you're being created and changed step by step, and He's got a plan for your life. And you know what it is? It's to become just like Jesus. Now, I tell Him, man, Lord, that's a giant leap. And He says, yeah, and without me, you can't do it. But with me, if you learn to humble yourself and submit to my word, then you will make it. So that's enough. Oh, another add on to that, just a short one. A man taught me years and years ago that dead men don't get embarrassed. And I've never gotten rid of that. But we had a, God's so good to me sometimes, I can say, well, I can tend to get embarrassed, you know. And then right away, here comes this word, God, dead men don't get embarrassed. Well, yesterday, my wonderful wife and I had celebrated our 68th wedding anniversary. 68. And I'm not embarrassed about it at all. I'm just really thankful. And thank you for putting up with me.
Okay. Well, to be polite here, wasn't sure if Aaron was going to share something. We've been singing about how we've been liberated, and we have been. Through the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, we've been liberated. And as I was worshiping, I just kept hearing God telling me how much He loved us all. He loves us all. Father God loves us all because He gave His Son. His Son gave His life for us on the cross, and He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can walk with Him, so that we can have life, and life abundantly, right? So I kept hearing how much He loved us, so I'm going to read Jeremiah 31:3, and I'm going to put it down here. Okay, so I'm going to begin even a little bit back more. It says about 31, just so you have a little bit more information. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. And this is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor. In the wilderness, I will come to give rest to Israel. Well, we kind of live in the desert, wilderness, but He is with us. He is with us. And He keeps saying that He loves us. So it says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again, and you, virgin Israel, will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your timbrels and go out to dance with a joyful sound. We are to be joyful because He loves us with an everlasting love. So He just kept saying that to me, and He wanted me to say it to you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and He has plans for each and every one of you. So let's just rejoice and be glad in Him. Amen.
You know, we were doing the song, No Longer Slaves to Fear. And I like what Wendy said earlier about, you know, we're no longer slaves to fear, even though we face it every day for some of us. And I want to encourage everyone here today that if you're dealing with fear, that the only time that you're a slave to fear is if you give up your fight with fear, because that's when you truly lose, is if you choose to give up. So even if you're dealing with the battle of fear, I encourage you all to keep steadfast in the faith that, in truth, that you are not slaves to fear, but you are children of faith instead. Thank you very much.
One more story about Ernie. I know it's covered by the blood, babe. I lived through it. before you were covered by the blood.
Amen.
I only threw one thing at him, an egg sandwich, but it went over the top of the car. 68 years. And I remember when he got saved, I prayed for him. And I was saved when I was a little girl. My grandma had me down on my knees when I'm a real, real tiny little thing. But stick with me, and I waited and waited for Ernie to accept the Lord, and he did. And he's a wonderful man, and I love him to pieces.
I had to listen to that Pastor John guy this morning. Yeah. Sometimes I think it's just me, and then somebody else says it. Yeah, so, you know, one thing I just want to encourage everybody to do is to not let how other people act influence how you act. We are holy. We are set apart. We're different. We're peculiar people. We don't act the way that the world does. One of my favorite scriptures is Romans 12. Just talked about this morning, but this is verse 1. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world.
Yes.
And it's one of these things like, you know, if somebody acts a certain way, we act in kind as a natural thing, but we know that isn't the way that we should be. God has a different way for us to be. And it goes on to say this. It says this right here. It says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So let me just encourage you not to act as the world does. If something happens that you don't react, but you think about it and you deal with it the way God would deal with it. Above all things, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it.
We've been studying the kingdom, and kingdom means kingship, rule, or sovereignty. And it goes along with what Abe preached. Our kingdom, when God came, everyone was expecting him to rule in a different way. But he came as a heavenly father, and his kingdom is a heavenly kingdom of blessing. And those who live according to the kingdom principles will see the blessings in their life. What are those blessings, and how to follow that is through the fruits of the Spirit. If we follow that, we're following what God wants us to do. It's through the transformation of the heart of a man and woman that his kingdom, his way of doing and being, that his kingdom comes on the earth. And it says, and we have to do it by faith because it's so different from this world. So that scripture, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He brought that kingdom with him, and it's for us, and we need to walk in it.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
I was going up and down. Do I go up? Don't I go up? Do I go up? I know we all feel that way. But we've been talking about the kingdom. We've been talking about that we are the children of God. The heaven has came down to earth. And that's something that doesn't belong in your head. It belongs in your heart. Knowing that God is here with you. And the whole idea of it is that you are not just children of God. You're more than that. He came down to earth to live in you. You lives in you. He's there. And you have to understand whatever you have, it's all about him. It's not about your downs and your fears, thinking that he would never leave you or forsake you. Then that should give you the courage not to fear, because you're going, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Fear comes when you feel that you're alone, that you are trying to do the battle by yourself. But you're never alone. He's always with you. He wants to share with you. He wants to be a part of who you are. But more than that, he's saying, I am a part of who you are. I am everything that you need is in you. Release the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is give him permission and he will flow out of you. And all of a sudden, you are going to be speaking in testimonies and telling God, do it again. You did it once for me. You can do it. It's the confidence and the courage that you have that's within you. It's in you. You're not alone. There's no reason to fear. Fear is being alone. He is the one that's doing the battle. You don't have to do the battle. You just give him permission to do the battle. Because we're living in a spiritual kingdom. And we keep on looking on earth. And we're keeping on seeing. Oh, look at the things are here. We take our eyes off of him. And we need to stop doing that. We need to stop and look inward, not at ourselves, but of who he is and what he can do through you and for you. And be excited. Be excited that you're not just a child in the king. The king lives within you. So you're looking at the idea, the throne room. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That temple of the Holy Spirit lives inside you. It's not going. So we always talk, well, wait until I go to heaven and I can go to be in the throne room. You are the throne room. And as long as we can see that, not just with our head, but with our heart, we are the throne room. He resides in you. And says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you can remember that, and if you can ask him and say, Lord, not just let me think about it, but let me know it in my heart, you're going to be walking as a testimony. You're going to be his hands and feet. You are going to be who he created you to be. And that's a reflection of Jesus. So.
Come on, hallelujah. How many of you are a child of God? How many believe that God has saved you? Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you know it's good news? Can you say amen? Good news, amen? How many of you like good news? Amen. Praise God. I love good news. Ooh, hallelujah. This book is full of good news. Can you say amen to that? Amen. God is good. And what he's got to tell us is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Good news. You know what the gospel means? What does it mean? Good news. Amen. Praise God. How many of you thank God for the gospel? Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. Amen. Unto salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, how many of you are ashamed of the gospel? None of you? How many of you are glad what God has done for you? Anybody glad? Anybody happy? Anybody got joy for what God has done for you? For what God has done. Hallelujah. Isn't it an incredible thing that he picked you? Look at your neighbor and tell him, man, I don't see why he picked you. Come on, man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Amen. Why me? What did I do, Lord, to deserve your goodness and your love and the joy that you bring? What did I do? Why me? See, his choice on you. Hallelujah. He loves you. Can you say amen? I got some good news for you. This is the word of God says that he who began a good work in you, he's going to complete it. See, it's not up to you to complete it. He's going to complete it. Can you say amen to that? So continue to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Continue to pray. Hallelujah. I tell everybody nowadays, I was standing in Safeway, standing in line. I don't know what, I can't remember what Rosie had me buying. But I'm standing in line, this guy looks at my shirt and he goes, "What's that?" And it had the emblem, it has a black, I had a black shirt on, it's got the white emblem of the of the Holy Spirit and the fire. And he goes, "What's that?" And I said, well, that's the church I give to. He goes, "What's the name of it?" I said, "It's Sarita House of Worship." "Oh, who's the pastor?" Well, sorry, buddy, I am. And he asked me, are you what denomination are you? I said, "Well, we're non-denomination." I realize that that can be a denomination in itself. But I said, "We are Bible believing. We believe the gospel. We believe God. Whatever he said, we believe it." And he asked me, he goes, "So," he goes, "you're one of them tongue talkers, aren't you?" And I looked at him, and I never did get his name. But I looked at him, I said, "No, I consider, what I was hearing in my head was waterspout. We're waterspouts. If you come to my church, you'd find out and you'd hear that God spoke to our congregation saying that we are, out of this house will flow rivers of living water. And the people of God are living water. They'll be spreading living water in the city as they walk around." And he looking at me, and I understood he didn't know what I was talking about. I said, "Yeah, I speak in tongues. I do. I pray in tongues. I speak in most of the time. If I wasn't talking to you, I'd be speaking in tongues right now." I told him, folks, I believe that what God has given us as a gift, the Holy Ghost, everything that the Holy Spirit has is dwelling within you. Can you say amen to that? Speaking in tongues is part of that. And I was thinking about it after I talked to him. I said, "Boy, I wish I would have said this to him about words. I wish I would have." How many ever done that? "I could have said this. Oh, that would have been good. Oh, I could have said that. Oh, that would have been good." You know, but I was thinking, and I said, you know, and I said, it's funny because I started thinking about the thought of people, you know, how people get in trouble. Can you say amen? People get into a place where they don't know what to do. They've got no idea where the help is going to come from. If there is any help out there at all. Do you realize that when you pray in the Spirit, when you speak, when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, it's God speaking. Do you know? Do you guys understand that? Do you understand that it is God speaking? So the Bible says, and I don't even know why I'm here except because this is good news. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, we'll prophesy to you just a bit. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that God spoke and there was light. Is that right? And he spoke again and there was a firmament. And he spoke again and these planets showed up and water and all. He spoke and everything, the creation happened. Can you say amen to that? Can you imagine if you will think about what God is saying out of you? He's creating things. The creativity of God is working for you and in you. And all you've got to do is release yourself to it and allow him to take care of the problems or whatever thing's going on. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's God. It's not you. Whoo, hallelujah. We don't get how powerful this thing is. Otherwise, we'd be doing it all the time. I heard somebody had told me that they had gone to, I know Linda went to Paul Yonggi Cho's church in Korea. But what I was, I heard somebody saying that when you show up in the morning there, it sounds like a bunch of bees coming into a big beehive. People speaking and praying in tongues come as they come in. Ooh, man. I said, man, I'd like to be in that atmosphere. Can you imagine that? People speaking and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. That's what we're all about. Anyway, that's what I'm all about. You can do what you want. Come on. Amen. It's your choice. Is that right? It's your choice. But as a pastor, I'm telling you, you need to speak. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, because He will take care of all the things, stuff you don't even know about. Oh, stuff that you haven't even thought about, He's taking care of it. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I told you, and I told you, and I'm telling you again, I told him, God, you've got the wrong guy. I never prayed to be a pastor. And he said, oh, you prayed. You just didn't know you were praying. See, he creates these things. He's got purpose and plan for you. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Can, how many of you know that what God purposes and what he plans is going to happen? You can't get away from it. People can do whatever they want, but God's plan is going to happen. His will is going to be done. Let me say amen. His will is going to be done. Well, I'm here to talk to this morning. I struggled with God. How many ever wrestle with God? Come on, for sure. I said, God, are you sure? Are you sure? He's giving me scripture. I said, God, are you sure? I had something better, God. I could have done it this way. Are you sure this is what you want to say to the body of Christ this morning? All I know is, can I just say something, folks? My desire is that every one of us would walk as Christ walked, with the power and the glory of God in the earth, so that all those that don't know him would see him. The only thing wrong, how many of you looked at somebody and said, if they only knew Jesus, can you say amen? How many of you said that, you know? See, all it's darkness that just needs light. That's all it is. They just need light. And God says, well, we are the light of the world. They just need light. Give them light. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. If the Holy Spirit leads you to give them light. Hallelujah. So this, I'm going to give you, this is what God gave me for this morning. You might not agree with me, and that's okay. I've never said what I speak to you, you need to look in the scriptures. Just like, who said that? Was that you, Ernie? Was that somebody said this morning, hey, was it that I heard? I heard somebody say something. I heard they say it. That anyway, and as I go, oh, that fits for what I'm going to say about the message. But somebody said, check everything. Check everything. Don't believe me. Go to the Word of God and let God speak to you. Don't go to the internet. Don't go to your favorite pastor, whoever they are, your favorite evangelist. Go to the Word of God, go to the Holy Spirit, and let Him show you. Can you say amen? Because men are men, and God is God. Who would rather hear God than man? Come on, man. But Henry, it doesn't make sense. You're a pastor. Yeah, it does make sense if you think about it. We need to hear God and Him alone. And He gives men and women words to speak to those that He's building and He's strengthening. Can you say amen? My heart is to build, never to tear down. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if we go there, we're going to talk about something here. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1, says this. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you have received, wherein you stand. They're standing in the gospel. And he says this, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. I like what he says. Remember what I've said. And I would say that this could be the scriptures talking to you. Remember what you read. Is that okay? Remember what's been said. Remember. How many say, keep in memory? And I'm not into memorizing scriptures. Can you say amen? I am into the Holy Spirit writing scriptures on my heart. That's what I'm into. Is that right? I'm going to say, hey, you write it, Lord. I don't want to write it. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Anybody seen my wife's handwriting? I wouldn't be able to decipher it if I wrote it like that. Anyway, is that mean? That's not mean. I love my wife. She's sweet. Hallelujah. By which the gospel by which you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And he says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How many know you got to receive the gospel? How many know that God says, you know, receive? When I'm giving you something, please receive it, is what God says. He said, Paul says, that which I'm giving to you, what I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. How many of you are glad that Jesus died for your sins? Woo! 6 of you. Okay. All right, good. Praise God. He said, he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He said it twice in there, according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures declared that Jesus was going to die for us. Can you say amen to that? That there would be a Savior. Amen? His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the what? Prince of Peace. Read that verse. I think that's Isaiah 9:6. It says, for unto us a son is given. But right there says, unto us a son is given. Do you realize that he's been given to you? He's wonderful. He's given it to you. He's a counselor. He's given it to you. He's a mighty God. He's given it to you.
Amen.
He's a prince of peace. He's given it. It's a gift. And it comes via the Holy Ghost. How many say amen? Hallelujah. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. How many like Romans 8? I love Romans 8. It's got some crazy stuff. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Some of the stuff I'm going to read to you, you're not going to find it in any other Bible but the King James Bible. Just to let you know that. All right, just to let you know, sorry, John. Sorry, Steve, TPT. I'm sorry, guys, but I'm going to go ahead and go with what I love. Amen?
Amen.
Let me just say that the last scripture I have is out of the TPT, so I love the Word of God. You see, it's not the interpretation that you read them. It is the interpreter.
Amen.
It is that person that interprets what you're reading. His name is the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. I've heard all these. Oh, you know, you can't be reading that. Oh, you shouldn't be reading that. You wouldn't be reading that. I've heard them all. I probably haven't heard all of the reasons why we should. But all I know is the Holy Spirit speaks to me greatly out of the King James. I don't know why. I just don't know why. Hallelujah. But you might hear something here, and I'm going to say, because what God is having me to say is not a, you know, how many of you know the gospel is simple? There's a simplicity in the gospel. But learning the things that God has, it comes a different way. It comes by revelation. And revelation takes some, hey, I'm going to focus on what God is saying to me. I'm going to focus on the Word. I need to focus on what He's saying. Can you say amen to that? And then when you're focusing, all of a sudden, boom, something explodes in front of you and you get all fired up. The Word of God becomes alive in your heart. And the Holy Spirit pulls out His pen and He begins to write it on your heart. Because you'll never forget. When you receive a revelation, you'll never forget it because God writes it on your heart by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Woo, thank God for the Spirit. Thank God that He sent His, you know, God the Father sent His Son. We'll read this right now, but I'm getting excited about it. God the Father sent His Son. And then when Jesus was finished, if you will, the Bible says He sat down at the right hand of the Father and He sent us the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. So here we go. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. If you're writing them down, let me. That's it. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Everybody say now.
Now.
What does that mean?
Now.
That means now, right?
Yeah.
There's no condemnation when? Now, right now, right now. To them that are in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Woo, that's a good word. Yeah. Promise, that's good news. Amen. There's no how many of you are glad that God doesn't condemn you anymore? How many of you are glad that He does not holding a stick over you saying, do it again? Like I do to my little puppies. I got a newspaper that I got wrapped up. I said, just do it again and we'll see what happens. you guys are thinking, dog abuse. No, I love them. I didn't think I'd like them little puppies, but man, I love my pooch. I love those little guys. They're fun to watch. They're fun to play with. They do get a little on my other side.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, bro, you're dead, man. Knock it off. Amen. Oh, I love. Anyway, there's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has made them free. What? From the law of sin and death. What? We're talking about what? The cross broke something. It broke the law of sin and death. Can you say amen to that? And it created another law, something new. How many know that God said, I'm going to do something new? Remember that in Isaiah? I'm going to do something new. When it happens, you might not even believe it. It's new. Well, He broke the old law. And He started something new. So here it is. It says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free by the law of sin and death. Is that good?
Yes.
That's good. Which one do you want to walk in? Do you want to walk in sin and death? I don't want you to either. But if that's where you want to stay, that's up to you. God wants you to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? That's a good place to walk. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Oof. I'm not even sure how to get this scripture out, but here it comes, all right? It says, can you back up again? For what the law couldn't do. How many know the law could not do something? The law was weak, what? According to the what? Right there, it says, according to the flesh. God sending His own Son, looks like flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Is that right? And then it says, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I want you to look at this real closely, because this is what the Holy Spirit had revealed to me. Jesus came not just to die for your sin. If you look, go back to the script, go back to that one right before this. What the law couldn't do is weak through the flesh. It said God sent His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh. So what the law could not do, listen. What the law couldn't do, the law could never show you what a man of God or a woman of God was supposed to look like. It just couldn't do it. There was a set of laws, and how many know that nobody could live up to those laws? So God sent His Son to show you, to give you an example that you might know that this is what a redeemed man looks like.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
No.
See, because how many know we needed redemption? We needed something that would take us and put us, position us back in the presence of God. So it says here, he goes, He was in the likeness of sinful flesh. I mean, no, but He didn't sin. And because He didn't sin,
He could pay for whose sin?
Ours.
Say mine. It's better. Makes it better. Make it personal. He paid for my sin. Can you say amen to that? My sin. Yeah, he paid for our sin. The Bible says he paid for the sins of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Is that right? The whole world. But say my sin. Makes it personal between you and God. How many know you need personal between you and God? Nobody else. I love my wife, but I need God. Can you say amen to that? I know you ladies, you love your husband, but you need God. Hallelujah. Makes it personal. You got to be personal with God. You got to know that he is for you and he's not against you. Just like we sang earlier. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. When it says that he condemned sin in the flesh, that's when Jesus hung on the cross. That's when he took sin of the whole world. And he nailed it to the cross, nailed him to the cross. It says, and then the next verse is that the righteousness of the law. See, the law was good. How many say amen? The law was good. It was good. But we couldn't get there. We couldn't do it without Christ. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Why is it fulfilled in you? Because Christ is in you. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to prophesy to you. The word is prophesying to you that you walk after the flesh and not of the Spirit. I'm saying that to you today. Walk after the Spirit. Don't walk after the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. Can you say amen to that? God was dealing with me. It was close to New Year's, and God started thinking. I said, God, I'm going to take all the kids up. I had a bunch of youth, and I said, I'm going to take them upstairs, and we're going to anoint them for the new year. God, I just pray that you just speak to my heart so I could speak into their lives as we anoint them. And the Lord says something, don't touch their flesh with the oil. I go, what? I go, okay. I said, what do you mean don't touch me? And then probably 2 days later, I'm looking in the scriptures, and the word of God, you'll see it in Psalms, where the oil was poured upon Aaron's turban, if you will. It never touched his flesh. That oil ran down. See, you don't anoint the flesh. Can you say amen to that? The flesh profits nothing. Is that right? Without God, the flesh profits nothing. So he said, don't do that. I said, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to anoint the man? Your word says to anoint them. See, God, it can be confusing. I said, how am I going to anoint them? I don't know. I want to anoint them, but your word says anointing them with oil. So how do I anoint them? He says, put it on their hair. Just like it ran down Aaron's beard, put it on their hair. I said, cool, I'll do that. That's what I'll do. See, God brings revelation to us, folks. Can you say amen to that? When you're desiring to serve God with all your heart, God's going to start pouring in revelation to you so that you understand, you know things like you'd never known them before that you hadn't even thought of. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. But he reveals them through his Spirit. Hallelujah. So here I'm in this position, and I go, right. So all night long, I'm greasing up my hand, and I'm patting it on their head, hitting their hair. Yeah. The girls, no, just put it right here on my forehead. Sorry, man. God said no. On your hair. It was an all-nighter, too, huh, Rose? It was an all-nighter at First Assembly, man. These girls had oily head all day, all night. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there was a brother that I worked with, and he had cancer. And the Lord said, go pray for him. So I went to his house to pray for him. And I said, Bob, can I pray for you? And he's wearing one of those like ski hoodies or whatever. You know, it's a mask if you pull it down, but it's a little hat. And he's wearing one of those. And I said, Bob, you know, it's time to pray. He said, yeah, it is. Can I anoint you with oil? You bet. I said, well, bro, I'm going to put this on your hair. He said, okay. He had been going through cancer treatments, so he pulled his hat. He pulled his hat off. And you see this? There was nothing for me to put the oil on. And I knew what God had already said to me. I said, well, God, now what? I mean, like this verse, now what? Anybody watch Finding Nemo? Anybody see Finding Nemo? Those fish, they wanted out of the aquarium so bad. They figured out that if they got in these bags, they can hop out and go across the street, and they landed in the ocean. Now they're floating in the ocean, and one of them goes, now what? How are we going to get in it? Oh, man, this is a crazy detour. But I looked at him, I go, I got God, now what? And this is what the Lord said to me, Henry, there is no anointing more powerful than the word that I speak that comes out of your being. Anoint him with the word. Whoo, man. Totally changed my church perspective of how to anoint. Let the word of God richly flow out of you in all wisdom and understanding. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Hey, don't get mad at me. Because like I say, look them up. Look at things. Look at what the word of God is saying, okay? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The scriptures before that, it says, back up a little bit, if you would, Abe. Jesus made me free from the law, or it says, for what the law could not do. What couldn't the law do? What's that? Come on. What could it not do? I'm going to take you to Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Here's the scriptures kind of give us a little bit of an answer. Well, it gives us a great bit of an answer of what we're talking about, what the law could not do. Hebrews 10, 1 says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Who's the good things to come? Christ. Amen. And not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto
perfect.
I know last week Rebecca did a little thing and what she was talking about some of the excuses that we have But here the word of God is telling us that the law, what it couldn't do, what Christ did, is made you perfect. Can you say amen to that? See, because it's not you anymore. Is that right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. Is that right? So you're not even alive anymore. You're a dead man, dead woman, dead dude, dead chick. Amen? But Christ is in you. So what you do is when you say nobody's perfect, I'm not perfect. You're coming against the word of God that says that that the Spirit has made you perfect. Can you say amen? Just watch this. Watch this. Watch what he says here. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Therefore, they had to continue to sacrifice. Is that right? For then, if it would have made them perfect, it says, would not they have ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. See, God is saying you shouldn't have any conscience of sin. Ooh. No more. Don't do it anymore. No more consciousness of it. I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I used to, before I knew the Lord, I had sticky fingers. And you guys know what I mean? Yeah. Sticky fingers. Taking stuff that wasn't mine. I worked in a warehouse. I would take stuff. I would toss it in my vehicle and drive away with it. when I met the Lord, oh boy. I'm certainly glad he didn't say, okay, take all that stuff back. Oh boy. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. He wants us to have no more consciousness of sin. Let me just say this to you. If you're holding a grudge, if you're holding a grudge against anybody, and you call yourself a Christian, what that's called is unforgiveness. And it is from the old nature. Can you say amen? Yeah, it's getting real quiet in here now. It's from the old nature. And the scriptures clearly say that you are a new creation. Clearly says it. You cannot hold a grudge. If you do, you're holding on to the old man. And God is telling you, no, no, that is not the way the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works with a new creation, brand new. Or they steal your coat and you give, or they take your coat and you give them your shirt also, or whatever. What was that with that scripture? Where they slap you on one side of the face and you say, hey, do this one too, bro. It'll do me good. You're in a new kingdom. You are in a kingdom that doesn't operate the way we operate today, like the world operates. If you would not worry about your finances so much, God could do something. But you're letting worry, which is a very high indicator of doubt, folks. It's an indicator of doubt. You're letting it rule. And God said, now you're a new creation. The peace of God that passes all understanding is going to take care of that. Will you just let go? Scriptures tell us that our strength is to sit still, to be still, and to know that he's God. Can you say amen? That's where we get strong, because he strengthens us in those places. No more conscience of sin. God doesn't want you having a conscience of sin. If you're not forgiving, it's no wonder that Jesus, I said, look, I didn't say this, okay? I just want you to know that I didn't say it. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. That's not me. That's Jesus saying that. Why? Because he's talking about a new creation in a new kingdom. The kingdom of God. We got to understand that God is changing the government of this world. And it's his kingdom. We have to understand it. Can you say amen? Okay, God, I said it. There it goes. Praise God. I got through that. All right. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again of sins every year. He's talking about the law. Every year they did sin. They did sacrifices for sin. For it was never, or it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you would not. In other words, you don't want that. But a body you've prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you would not, neither had pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Okay, just go back up just a little bit. You know where it says? It says in the book, sacrifice, you don't want offerings, the bullocks, those guys, you don't want that stuff. Where is that at? I'm going to show you. I want you to read it in Psalm, praise God, 40 verses 6 through 8. This is what it says. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
See, David is saying something here. He says, you don't want sacrifice. And we see they're still sacrificing back then. Is that, can you say amen? This is time of sacrifice. This is a time of offerings. This is a time of take your favorite sheep to slaughter. Is that right? For sacrifice. This is that time. But David, it says, hey, you've opened my ear to this. I understand that you're not even happy with these things. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. My ears you've opened. But burnt offering, this is burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required. Then I said, and here's where David quotes them. This is where he prophesies low. It's written in the volume of the book. It's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is written where? In my heart. So again, let's go back to that, where we're at in Hebrews. So he says that he takes away the first that he may establish the second. First what? First law. That he wants to establish the second. He says, lo, I come to do your will. He says, he takes away the first, the law of sin and death, so that he can establish. Did you say, I mean, what establish means? See, establish is built up. It needs to be established. It needs to be spoken and read and looked at and spoken and spoken, but so that he can establish this kingdom that he's talking about. He says, he takes away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will, he's talking about the will of God, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And then he says this, once for all. One time. Once for all of us. Can you say amen to that? Next verse. And Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, I love this, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin,
forever,
sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. What are his enemies? People say, well, that's the devil. Shut up. No. It is anything that opposes God. When Peter said, no, Lord, you can't die. Jesus had just told him, man, you're the rock, Peter. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And then he begins to tell them how he's going to be arrested by the Gentiles, and they're going to shamefully treat him, and they're going to crucify him. And Peter says, "No, Lord, not so." Jesus turns around and calls him Satan. All Satan, that word Satan, it just means something that is opposing God's will. Oh, yeah. Pay attention. It's what God is something pushing against the will of God, because it's that will of God that sanctifies us. Can you say amen? It's what God did. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, God is waiting because we're perfected. Look at your neighbor and say, you're perfected. If you don't believe it, look it up. Look at the Word of God. See what is it. These words are very... Jesus said this, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. You know what? I'm real glad he said it that way. Because there's a lot of translations that change the word perfect into mature. Be mature. So if you put that where Jesus said, be perfect as the Lamb of my Father, it's going to sound like this. Be mature like my Father is mature. Are you kidding me? He didn't have to mature. He's God.
That's it.
He didn't have to mature. So he says, Jesus said, be perfect as my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Folks, you don't know how much trouble I got in for speaking this in a church. Because people just don't want to hear, man. Hey, man. What they should tell me is, Henry, you're removing all my excuses. I'm not perfect. Henry, I'm just a human. What we're doing is we're removing the excuses, because God says, I will not have those. Those excuses are satanic. Because they're pushing against the will of God in your life. Stop it. Stop making excuses for yourself. Can you say amen? It's not good for you. Because once you start, you will keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, even though the Word of God is challenging you. That's not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Rabokatate. You've got to understand. We've got to understand these things because this is the way the kingdom operates. It operates in His will. Hallelujah. For by one offering, He has perfected forever. I was just going to back up one scripture. It says, for henceforth, expecting till the Holy Ghost is also a witness for us. For after that He had said before, henceforth, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. You see, the whole Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Can you say amen? He's sitting there. And God's not going to tell him to get up until those who have the Spirit, those the kingdom of God on the earth, bring the kingdom to the earth because of who they are. Jesus isn't going to get up until he says, till all my enemies be made my footstool. Everything under my foot. From sticky fingers, to death. Yes. Under his foot. It is our job as the body of Christ, led by the Spirit of God, to walk in these things. How many say amen to that? Don't believe me. This is what God is saying to the church today. You don't have to believe me. You can say, you're full of it, Henry. Yeah, it's okay. But I know what God has given me for the church today. When this thing goes out on the internet, I will get calls. Because people just will not hold to the fact that Christ has made them perfect. That's why you don't have to go to the Father anymore and say, Father, I'm sorry. I've sinned again. He says, I paid for that sin. He says, yeah, well, I did it this morning. Yeah, well, I paid for it 2,000 years ago. I paid for all the way up past eternity. You are good. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, it's an understanding that we have to hold on to. We have to have it. Hallelujah. Isaiah 14:24 says this. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I thought. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. You say it fast. So shall it stand. As I have purposed, he says, it's going to stand up. You see, what we are looking at is a declaration from God about the garden. What he thought and what he made in the garden was man without sin. Can you say amen? Man without sin. I told Rosie the other day, I said, man, you know, I like raking. Does anybody like raking? No? I like to rake. I like digging holes and planting plants or whatever, man. I told Rosie, I said, you know what? Raking to me is like eating Lay's potato chips. Can't just eat this one, man. I'll rake, and I like raking for whatever reason. Then I realized something. It's almost like maybe God said something to me. He says, you see, Henry, that's all I wanted everybody, that's all I needed you to do in the garden. Just maintain the garden. Just maintain it. How many, anybody like planting plants? Anybody? Yeah. Some of you ladies? Yeah. Just maintain the garden. Just maintain. See, God never put anything heavy on us. Can you say amen to that? We made it up. We made it. Thanks a lot, Adam. Thanks a lot, Eve. Even worse. Oh, yeah. Let it go, Henry. Let it go. Yeah, it says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I live, I thought, so shall it come to pass. As I purpose, it's going to stand. See, God is going to redeem this thing. It's already redeemed. When Christ died on the cross, the work was, what did Jesus say? finish. El finite. Fin. It's done. It's a done deal. But what the Holy Spirit's job is to speak to our hearts and bring us into these things. Can you say amen to that? Because it's a glorious kingdom, and it is a government like this planet has never seen. Never seen. Amen? Hallelujah. This is my last verse. Are you guys saying good? Look at it. We've got 15 minutes left. I should look up some more scriptures to give you. Yeah. But anyway, here's Acts chapter 3, verse 21. This is the TPT. For he must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place. You see, a lot of folks think that Jesus is coming tomorrow. I said, well, he might. Well, the restoration of all things hasn't taken place. The Holy Spirit is working that way. But the church, I believe, is resisting. Say, I can't believe it. I can't believe these things. Yeah, you need to start believing things when the Holy Spirit begins to show you. Let him show you. Don't believe me. Let him show you. He must remain in heaven till the restoration of all things has taken place, fulfilling everything that God said long ago through his holy prophets. I want you to see that word restoration. There's a neat note on it. It says restoration of the creation to the state of existence before the fall. That's what that word's talking about. Restoration of the creation to the state of existence before the fall. Also talking about the restoration of the covenant of David. Can you say amen to that? That's why we hop, and that's why we sing, and that's why I don't do the flags. We need some guys that'll jump up here and do flags. Anybody want to do that? No, whatever, man. Okay, but also the covenant of David. Luke's choice when he puts this word when he wrote this Greek word. The Greek word is apokata. Let me try it again, okay? Apokatastasis. 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 Dan, say that real fast. Apokatastasis. That's the word for restoration. And it says that Luke's choice of this word is incredible. How many know Luke was a doctor? Anybody know that? He was, a medical guy back then. I don't know if he'd ever seen an X-ray machine before. It says, Luke's choice of this word is incredible. Only found here in the New Testament just this one time. And it has a medical meaning. Restoration into perfect health. How many say amen?
Amen.
Hey, look at your elbow and say, man, I told you to get perfect. You are perfect. Is that right? No. Tell your toe that. Tell your finger that. Tell your head. Tell your thinking. Can you say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. See, you've been restored. You are perfect right now, though you might not believe it. You are. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you are. Yeah. Can you stand up? We're going to pray. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Folks, I had a struggle with God with this message. Because God, whatever God would say, whatever I was saying to him, but I will tell you, I sensed the Spirit of God moving in almost everything that was said this morning. Because God is desiring to build you and strengthen you. If you would, raise your hands to the Lord right now. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing to your people. The kingdom is on the earth in your citizens that know and believe you. Father, if there's folks today that didn't get this, Father God, help them, Lord. Father, help us to see more of what you're saying to your church, to your body on earth. Father, thank you for your work, for what you have wrought through the blood of your dear Son. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Father, I pray that you would touch your children all over the world. Touch those that were involved yesterday, Father. Touch President, Mr. Trump, Lord. Touch those families that lost their loved ones, Father God. Thank you, Father. You know greater than any of us what you're doing, God. So, Father, we thank you for it, and we praise you, God, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hug and greet everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody walk out.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.